Great to see you today. Is anybody like me where when you get an extra hour of sleep, you can't sleep because you're worried you're going to miss the alarm because it's all messed up? Anybody on that with me? Or am I just really weird? Yeah, thank you. You probably think you're at the 12 o'clock hour. You're not. It's a 10:30 hour. Welcome. Glad to have you here today. If you are visiting, we have welcomed you, and I want to do the same. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. We're so glad to have each of you here today. I don't know if you know or not, but the very first weekend in November is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. So I would like to pray today because there are many people around the world who don't get the opportunity like we do in all of our campuses and online to worship God openly, freely, to open our Bibles, to have a bunch of copies of the Bible. We'll give you a copy of the Bible if you want one. It's an absolutely amazing thing, and so we need to be praying. There are people today that are losing their life because they are followers of Jesus Christ. And so I would like us to pray. If you're able, would you be willing in all of our campuses, if you would be willing to stand, and let's just go to God one more time before we open up his word, and would you join me in praying, and would you just pray for someone that perhaps you know, and if you know somebody that's living across the world who's a follower of Jesus, we just ask that you would join us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come to you and petition you in something that you already know. Father, you know that there are many, many followers of yours, Christians around the world, who are persecuted because of their faith. There are people even today that are losing their lives, losing loved ones, stuck in areas, Lord, where they can't even have a copy of the Bible. And yet, Lord, we're so, so grateful that we have the freedom to gather to worship in Springboro and Northmont and Beaver Creek and Centerville. And Lord, for those that are joining us online, we're so grateful. We ask, Father, that you would give strength and power to the church of Jesus Christ around the world. We pray, Lord, that you would keep people safe whose lives are at risk even right now. We ask, God, that their lives would be used by you in the kingdom of God, that the name of Jesus would be proclaimed loudly, even in the way that they're living in fear. We pray, God, that you would use us even in our freedom here, Lord, that the name of Jesus would be proclaimed. And so we pray, Lord, for the church around the world. We pray for those in our church family that are going across the world as we have global staff members and we have partners all over the world. We thank you for Brian, who is part of our church family, Lord, who's leading a nonprofit when it comes to the persecuted church in India and Pakistan and other places. And so, Father, we ask for your hand of strength and power and safety over everyone around this world who is a follower of Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Say hello to somebody real quick before you sit down. Why don't you do that? You're already standing in all of our campuses. If you're online, I'm just going to say hello to you right now. Why don't you do that? Thank you very much. So if you are a guest with us here today, we are at the very end of a series we're calling The Helper. For 7 weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. It's been a great series for us as a church. I hope that your small group or perhaps your family has really gained some things, as I have as well. It's really, really important for us to understand who the Holy Spirit is in our lives. So if you are visiting, you're kind of coming at the very end, but let me just kind of bring you up to speed in just a second as to where you've been and maybe draw some curiosity as to you could go back and watch anything that we have been talking about for the last 7 weeks on our web or on our app. We'd love for you to catch up with us. The reason why we're using the word helper is because of what Jesus said in John chapter 14. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to have you turn to the Gospel of John in just a little bit. But this is what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, counselor, advocate. There are many, many different words that are used for that. But the helper is the word that Jesus used. And so that's why we're calling this series The Helper, about the Holy Spirit. Jesus went on to say, to be with you, what is it, church? Forever. That's an amazing thing. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because you can't have the Holy Spirit inside of you unless you're a follower of Jesus. And when you do, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. No wonder the world can't receive him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. Jesus is talking to his disciples, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's an amazing reality. The miracle of the Holy Spirit, we've been talking about that, as I said, for 7 weeks. Here's where we've been. Week one, we said, because of the Holy Spirit, you and I can know that God is very near. It's an amazing thing. You and I can never say, if you're a follower of Jesus, that God seems far. The truth is, our experience might say that, but we have to remind ourselves that by the Holy Spirit, God is never far. He's right here. He's with us all the time, and what a great thing that is. Week two, we said that because of the Helper, that the Holy Spirit tells us and helps us to understand the voice of God, that we can be hearing the voice of God, certainly by His Word. That's why we say here at Fairhaven a lot that you probably want to be involved in a daily connecting with God's Word so He can speak into your life. The truth is, the Holy Spirit can talk to you sitting in a room, sitting in a conference room, sitting in a hospital room, in a classroom, whatever it might be. We talked about that week two. Week three, we said that the Helper is the one that empowers us when we feel spiritually empty. Because the truth of the matter is, there are times in our lives, because of circumstances, that we feel spiritually empty, and the Spirit will remind us that when we ask the Spirit to fill certain areas of our lives, even though He's already inside of us, that then He can help us become when we have a spiritual emptiness that we battle with. Week four, we said that because of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, He gives us purpose. And the way He does that is through spiritual gifts. Do you realize that over 2,000 of you now have taken the spiritual gift assessment? 2,000 of us here at Fairhaven Church and all of our campuses are thinking about, what does that look like for me in my life? God has given me some spiritual gift that He wants me to use and utilize that gives me purpose in life. We talked about that. Week six, we talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to fight our spiritual battles. You're in a spiritual battle. We talked about that. If you don't know that, let me just remind you, you're in a spiritual battle. And yet the Holy Spirit gives us all the armor, the tools we need to fight that battle that we face. Last week, we talked about joy, that the Holy Spirit can infuse joy into your life so that you can be an oddity around the world, meaning you can have some really hard things going on in your life, and yet you can experience joy because of the Spirit in your life. That's odd to the world. I'm just going to tell you. And yet He infuses that in our lives. Here's how I want to end today. I want to end in John chapter 20, because the Helper is sending you and me with power for a purpose. Jesus says that to His disciples, I am sending you. Another way of saying it is, God wants to use you to make God known to the people all around you. It is not by accident that you live in your house, condo, townhouse, apartment, whatever it might be for you. God has placed you there, the people around you, the workplace that you work in, or if you're retired, or even if you're in school, God has placed you there for a very specific reason, that is to make God known to the world. It's just that important. So I want you to see what Jesus says here, and He brings the Holy Spirit into the conversation, which is really important for us as we're thinking about the Holy Spirit in our lives. So if you have a Bible or a device, why don't you open them up or turn them on to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 is the second to last chapter in the book of John. John is in the New Testament. If you don't know your books, that's okay. No shame at all. You can use the table of contents. In the New Testament, it goes Matthew, Mark, help me out if you know it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then there's John. And so John chapter 20, it's a story, a real story, about how Jesus died for us, was raised from the dead. This is Easter Sunday evening. He's with His disciples, and it's a tense situation that takes place there. And Jesus makes a comment to them that includes the Holy Spirit. I want you to hear this, because this is where I want to end for us as we end this series today. Here it is. Let me read it for you. John chapter 20, starting in verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, that's Sunday. In the Jewish culture, Sunday was the very first day of the week, which, by the way, if you didn't know this, the reason why we worship on Sunday and not on Saturday is because we are resurrection people. We worship on Sunday because Jesus was raised from the dead on Sunday, and we celebrate that every time we worship, by the way. We celebrate that. And so on the very evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, here's why, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." That's worth coming to church for right there, to hear Jesus say to you today, "Peace be with you. That's amazing. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he says something really confusing, which we're going to tackle here today and tease it out a little bit. Verse 23, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Right away, I want you to know what we're going to be talking about today, and I want you to get the idea, the main thought, if you will, or the reason why we're going to be looking at John chapter 20 today, and that's this. Take a screenshot, write it down if you want. It's certainly in your notes, but Jesus is saying that the Spirit sends us to bring God's love and hope to the world right where we live, right where we work, right where we serve. That he's saying this to disciples, and if you're here today as a follower of Jesus, you are a disciple, and he's telling each of us that he is sending you every single day. That you have a purpose to get up every single morning when your feet hit the floor and you start the day, whatever that looks like for you, and that is because Jesus is sending you. There's a very intentional thing that's happening here. By the Holy Spirit, he is sending you into the world out there because he wants the world to know of the love of God and the hope that we can have. Now, many of us will be like, yeah, I get that. I mean, we talk a lot about God's love, and that's a really important thing, of course. And what I want to make sure it's very, very clear is this is an intentional thing. This is not something that we just sort of casually say to ourselves, yeah, I want the world to know that I have the love of God. What Jesus is saying to his disciples, and I believe to us today in all of our campuses and online, is that it's an intentional thing that you get up and you think the first thought in your mind, he is sending me today. He's sending you to the relationships you have, to the place that you work, to the place that you shop, to the place you buy your gas. Typically, it's the same place. He is sending you to all the relationships that you have. If you're a parent, he's sending you into your kids' lives, into your grandkids' life. If you're married, into your spouse's life. If you're single, into your single friend's lives. College, as a college student, he's sending you onto your college campus for a very specific purpose. He is sending you wherever you work and wherever you live and wherever you serve in order that the world would know God's love and the hope that we have. He wants everyone around us to see and to know and to understand who God is. You see, it's one of our essentials actually here at Fairhaven. In other words, we believe that if you're a follower or a disciple of Jesus, that is in fact our commission, our command, God's giving us the sense that you and I get up every morning and we make God known every day intentionally. It's not something that happens casually. It's something that we actually think about and desire. So I'm hoping that you'll think about this when you wake up tomorrow morning, whatever your week begins like, because he is sending you. Now, in these verses that I read to you, Jesus mentions three things about being sent. So I want to take a look at these and tease these three things out because I think it's really helpful to understand exactly what Jesus said in the comments that he made, which are in red in some of your Bibles in John chapter 20. So let's dive in. Here's what Jesus is saying. He mentions three things about you and I being sent. Number one, it starts with peace. It starts with peace. Jesus came and stood among them, it says there in John. The doors were locked, and they were afraid for their life. And so here Jesus all just shows up. I mean, Jesus at this point, because he's been resurrected in his resurrection body, he shows up and he's there and he says to them, "Peace be with you." See, it's really important that we ask the question, well, what kind of peace are we talking about? Because oftentimes when we think of peace, we actually think of a lack of conflict or the absence of conflict. Let me try it out. Like if you're married and you have peace in your marriage, that's because you don't want to have conflict in your marriage. If you're single and with your friends, you don't want to have conflict with your friends or your classmates. And so therefore you want peace. But the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about here is very different. Can I tell you? See, the peace that Jesus is talking about here is not just the absence of conflict. It's actually the absence of fear. Because fear distracts us. Am I right? If something happens in your life, a circumstance, a situation, you get the diagnosis, something happens to a family member, there's some kind of loss in your life, there's a job issue, there's an issue with your kid or your grandkid or your friend or a classmate or whatever it might be, fear distracts in a huge way. In fact, fear causes us to be in panic mode. Fear causes us to question God, and therefore it erodes our faith. And it's true for all of us. And so I'm going to tell you that it happens to me, that every once in a while, when fear comes into my life, it erodes faith. Immediately you begin to question God, like, wait, what's going on here? And here's the worst thing that fear does. Fear causes us to take matters into our own hands. That's the worst part of fear. That all of a sudden you begin to question God, or you're panicking and you just take matters into your own hands. And that's a really, really dangerous thing to do. See, when you read the scriptures from cover to cover, if you picked up your Bible and read it from Genesis all the way to Revelation, here's what is really encouraging about what Jesus says here in John chapter 20. God is acknowledging fear. God knows that you and I deal with fear. The Bible never tells us that we should be fearless. It tells us that when you have fear, here's what you do. You bring it to him, and he gives us, well, he gives us peace, which is the absence of fear. That's exactly what's taking place in here. Now, this is not the first time, by the way, the disciples had heard this. This is Easter Sunday evening. After all that took place, they crucified Jesus. They ran for the hills. I mean, they were all like, I don't know him. Peter's like, I have no idea who you're talking about. You know, John was there at the cross. And so there's this huge drama that goes on. Jesus suffered on the cross for you and for me, was placed in a tomb, and then the third day, he walked away. He walked away, and he's alive, and alive even today. But this is not the first time they heard the idea of peace or the absence of fear. See, when they were in the upper room in John chapter 14, and you don't need to turn there. I'm going to put it on screen for you, actually, here. In John chapter 14, they were in the upper room. Jesus just had the Passover dinner with them, which, by the way, is where we get communion, where they took bread, and Jesus took bread, and he passed it around. He said, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to die. My body is going to be offered up for you. And this cup represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. And so today, 2,000 years later, we still have communion because we remember what Jesus did with his disciples. In the upper room, he washed their feet. He then said, one of you is going to betray me. Well, that brought a lot of tension to the room. And then he says, and by the way, I'm leaving. And the disciples didn't understand all of that. And then he said these words to the disciples in the upper room. So they've already heard this. Here's what he said, John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. I mean, we know that. The world can't offer this kind of peace. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be, what does it say, church? Afraid or fearful or experience fear. So peace is the absence of fear. What's really interesting to me is that in John chapter 14, Jesus seems to repeat himself. And at first glance, you could say, well, that's because the disciples were slow. They just didn't get it. That's probably true. And so what he did is he said two different things. I want you to see this. There are two vastly different statements that he makes and two different ways that they apply to you, your life and my life. And so I want you to see this. Let's tease it out. Here's the first one. Peace I leave with you. What kind of peace does Jesus leave with us? Well, this is the kind of peace that Jesus leaves with us. It's peace with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus as we surrender. That's why we're having communion. We do it, by the way, if you're a guest on the first weekend of every single month. This is not about Fairhaven Church. You don't have to be a member here. You don't have to attend for any length of time. This is all about Jesus. We remind ourselves that we can have peace with God. And it can only happen because of what Jesus did on the cross and the fact that he conquered death and sin based on the resurrection. You can have peace with God. You can be in relationship. Here's what's really interesting to me. There's a lot of people that I know that know a lot about Jesus. In fact, I think there's some people that I know that even are interested in Jesus, kind of like Jesus. But they don't really have the peace that comes with God because of Jesus. In other words, they haven't really fully surrendered their lives. And as we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and what a miracle that is that you and I get the Holy Spirit in our lives, before we take communion on all of our campuses today, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. I mean, how much courage did it take for Jesus to die on a cross? It's time perhaps that you and I could take some courage by just simply raising a hand. This is all I'm going to ask you to do today. Just raise a hand like this and say, yep, that's me. I want to surrender to him. At the end of our services and all of our campuses, we're going to give you the opportunity, because one of the things that Jesus says to the disciples is, I want to give you peace that I want to leave with you. And that peace is because I'm going to die for you, because it hadn't happened yet, and I'm going to be raised from the dead. And when you surrender to me, we enter into a relationship and you can have the peace that is with God. The second statement, take a look at it. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. What kind of peace is Jesus giving to us? Well, we know based on the context of John chapter 14 and what I just read to you in John chapter 20, and that's this. It's the peace of God, which is different than the peace with God. It's the peace of God, which is not just the absence of conflict, but the absence of, what is it, church? Fear. So you and I today, I don't know where you stand in your life. I've got great news for you that by the Holy Spirit, God wants to give you both the peace that you can have with God and give you the Spirit and the peace of God, so that fear that you brought in with you today can be dissipated. Here's why that's important. Because you can't even think, I can't even, because I know this about you, because I know it about me. We can't even think about being sent. We can't get up tomorrow morning and think intentionally, God has sent me to this place, wherever that is for you. We can't think about that if we're completely overwhelmed with fear on the inside. And here's what's interesting. Many of us, we don't even see it in each other because we hide it really, really well. We hide it so well. And yet on the inside, we're filled with fear. I got good news for you today that by the Holy Spirit, see, we can be sent, but it starts with knowing that Jesus wants to give you peace. Peace that is the absence of fear in your life. That's the first thing that he says, that being sent starts with peace. Here's the second thing, as we read this here in John chapter 20, that being sent requires being empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you get up tomorrow and are intentional to say, God, you sent me, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I'm going to look for it, I'm going to watch for it. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You're not doing this on your own strength. This is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Last time we lost the power in our home, it was really interesting. We had flashlights that I have strategically placed all over our house in case something like that happens. And what's amazing is, because it didn't happen very often in our neighborhood, apparently, that when I went to those flashlights, they were dead as a doornail because they either needed to be charged or they needed new batteries. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so you have to put the right batteries in order to have the power in order to do what, you know, a flashlight is supposed to do. And it's exactly what Jesus is saying here, that being sent is empowered by the Spirit, that as you go and you feel this really burden that you're sent, that God has want you to, you know, put you on purpose in life, it's not on your own strength. He's going to do it for you. He's going to empower you. Look at verse 22. He said this to them and he breathed on them. It's the same word in the original language that we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God puts dust together and he blew into it and created man and then woman. He blew life. He blew identity. He blew meaning. He blew image just by his breath. And so to these disciples and to us today, he wants to blow into your life and give you life and meaning and identity and image, because he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit that God is near. It's by the Holy Spirit that you can hear the voice of God. It's by the Holy Spirit that you can be filled in your spiritual life. It's by the Holy Spirit that you have spiritual gifts. It's by the Holy Spirit that the battles that you face, he'll fight them for you. It's by the Holy Spirit that you'll have joy. It's by the Holy Spirit that you are sent. You are sent by God. Based on the Holy Spirit. Let me say it this way. I've kind of been saying it already. See, Jesus never intended for his followers to be sent in their own strength. He never did. He wants you to be sent with the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will do supernatural things, that just by a comment or maybe by a word of affirmation, or maybe just by loving somebody, or maybe by doing something for somebody, or praying for somebody, God can do something supernatural because you are sent to the place that we live and work and serve. Your family, your kids, your grandkids, all of that's part of it. See, spiritual gifts gives us purpose, but being sent is the purpose. Did you catch that? Spiritual gifts gives you purpose, but being sent is in fact your purpose. Your purpose is not just to earn money and have a family perhaps, or to get married if you're single, or to have kids or grandkids. That's all great. In fact, the Bible tells us that we should be fruitful and multiply. And the reason that is because it's through family and relationships that we actually see a metaphor of the love of God. But you have a purpose, and that is to be sent into the world if you're a follower of Jesus. It's absolutely amazing. And then Jesus said this, look at verse 23. You need to see it. It's really odd, actually. In fact, you can kind of get sideways on this if we don't understand it. Look at verse 23. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, now keep in mind, this is in the context of the Holy Spirit and being sent. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now, what is Jesus saying there? Because this is pretty odd. I mean, this is actually a little bit frightening if you think about it. Was he saying something to the disciples 2,000 years ago that he's not saying to us today? The answer is no. This is important for us to understand that the ultimate sin, church, let me make sure we get this, the ultimate sin for which one needs forgiveness is the rejection of Jesus. Would you agree, church? That's the ultimate sin. That if somebody rejects Jesus, that is the ultimate sin. And we could talk about behavioral or moral sins, but we're talking about the ultimate sin here of rejecting Jesus. And what Jesus is saying to them is this, I have sent you, I'm gonna give you the Holy Spirit, and as you go, I want the people around you to experience God's forgiveness, and when they do, you get to join in because you've seen it. In other words, Jesus is not saying that Christians or churches have the authority to forgive sins. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, or rather, he's pointing to the ultimate sin of rejecting Jesus, which needs forgiveness. Jesus is giving his disciples, that's us today, me, you, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's giving us a commission or a command that we are to tell people of this sin to be forgiven by God, that you get to be a part of it, that when you live your life because you know you're sent and you get to speak life and love and hope into people's lives, if they come to the place where they invite Jesus into their life, you get to be part of that, and you get to experience it because you already know it in your life. Does that make sense, church? That's a whole new way of looking at that, because Jesus is using language and wording here that makes sense in the first century that's a little bit harder for us to understand here. You and I get to be a part of watching somebody else's life seeing forgiveness. On the flip side, if you don't take the commission or the command because you are sent, then you won't see it. We won't see it. And God wants us to be a part of that. So secondly, it requires being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Well, there's one more that Jesus says, that being sent includes every follower of Jesus. It's every follower of Jesus. Look at verse 19 or 20. He says, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. The word you there is not just those that like to travel. It's not just those who like hot food. It's not just those who are somehow, they want culture in their life. Or it's not just for the 20-year-olds, because you 20-year-olds don't have anything to do. So let's send you somewhere, right? It's for all of us. It's for every single believer in our life. Now, again, this is not the first time that they heard this. They heard Jesus praying. Let me show you in John chapter 17. They heard Jesus praying this very thing. Here's the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. As you send me, he's talking to the Father. It's a prayer. So he's praying to the Heavenly Father. He's saying, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. Let me say it this way. The same helper or Holy Spirit who took fearful disciples, keep in mind they were behind locked doors because they thought the Jews were coming after them. I mean, the Jews crucified Jesus and they thought our names are on the list. I mean, they're coming after us. That's why they locked the door. They didn't want to let anybody in. They were as fearful as all get out. A death had just happened. And so here they are afraid. The same helper who took fearful disciples and sent them boldly into the world for the gospel is the same helper who lives in you and me today. Can I get an amen, church? That's so true, and it's important for us to understand that in our lives. And some of us will say, well, I don't know about me. Well, I would say, well, I don't know about Peter. I mean, he denied Jesus 3 times, and yet God used him, didn't he? I mean, Peter stood up in front of thousands of people and preached with such courage, and he saw thousands of people giving their life to Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus says that he has sent us, many of us know that as the Great Commission. Do you know that the Great Commission is found in all 4 of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Let me show you. Take a screenshot of this if you want. It's on this. It's in the Gospels for you. See, the Great Commission in Matthew is about making disciples, that you're sent every day to help people to be followers of Jesus, that you get to help them, to walk with them, to encourage them, to pray for them. That's making disciples. Mark tells us that the Great Commission is going right where you live, right where you work. God has you placed right where you're at. He's probably not calling you to Africa. Maybe some of you, I don't know. But he's got you right where he wants you, unless he's tapping you on the shoulder. Luke tells us the Great Commission is the message of hope. This hope is that Jesus paid all of the cost for us, and he conquered all of that death and sin in our lives so that we can be free, that this life is not all there is. Thank God. This life is not all there is. And John tells us that the Great Commission is believing in Jesus Christ in order to have life, that you and I can have life today. A purpose, but life even in our lives today. See, we're not just representing Jesus to people around us. It's actually better than that. We are actually to be the presence of Jesus. You are to be the presence of Jesus to all those around you for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now, I know all the excuses. And let me tell you why I know. Because when I was 20, I was playing soccer. And I wanted to play soccer for the rest of my life, even though I knew in the 8th grade that God wanted to be a pastor. And so even at 20, when I heard messages like this, I would push back and I had excuses. Can I try them out on you? Here are the excuses that I told myself when I was 20 years of age. And so see if they fit for you. Here's excuse number 1. I don't think I'm spiritual enough. I'm not sure I'm spiritual enough to actually be sent by God into the people that I work with and live by and well, here's what I've learned. And so let me just tell you what I have learned, that if you take this seriously, that you are sent intentionally, that you're sent, whatever it is you do on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and all through the week. If you take this seriously, here's what I know about you, because it happened to me. Your spiritual life will thrive. It'll thrive. Second excuse that I said when I was 20 is, I'm not even sure what to say. I don't know what to say. Here's my answer. You don't need to make statements to people. We probably should just ask questions. Can I just remind you, the Holy Spirit is much better than you anyway. And oftentimes, as followers of Jesus, we want to make statements. We want to use the exclamation point. We want to straighten people out. We want to make sure that they hear the right thing. Nothing wrong with that, unless we don't have a relationship with them. As we're building a relationship with them, can I give you the greatest tool of being sent? And that's the question mark. Ask questions. And as you ask questions, the Holy Spirit will be working in their life. It's the greatest tool that you can use out there. Here's another excuse that I told myself when I was 20. Well, I'm not a pastor. And let me tell you, now being a pastor, that's actually an advantage for you. Because when I get on a plane and people say, what do you do? And I say, pastor, the conversation is over. And so it's an advantage for you that you're not a pastor, perhaps. Some would say, I'm not gifted to be an evangelist. Well, you don't have to have the gifting of evangelism. It's the job of all of us to be sent because God wants to use that in our lives. Here's the worst one that I used when I was 20. Well, I'm either too young or I'm too old. That's a terrible excuse because God wants to use you right where you're at now. Church, listen very carefully. This commission isn't just for a few who are willing to sacrifice. It's not. It is the call of every follower of Jesus to sacrifice for a few, the people that are right in front of you. Right in front of you. You probably would trip over them every single day. The people that you live with and work with and serve with every single day in our lives. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying, that we have been sent. So let me give you two things to think about. Two things to think about before we pray and have communion together, and that's this. We are sent, right? All of us. If you're a follower of Jesus here in any of our campuses, we are sent. So here's the first thing you might want to do. You might want to identify people that you want to begin to reach. Think about their names. Write their names down in your Bible. Start praying for them. Start just thinking about them and asking God to do incredible things. Just identify a name. And if you don't know what to do from there, trust me, on the app and on the website, if you go to the Helper series there, we have all kinds of resources to help you to think about how to identify a name in your life. Secondly, why don't you find a place to serve locally or globally? Do you know how many partners that we work with locally in all of our campuses and all of the communities that we serve in? Tons of them. And I listed them all for you on the app and on the website. Go and look at them. It's amazing. And that's exactly why we've given $25,000 to these food banks who are out of food. And we want to do that because right now there are people that are really, really hurting. And you could find yourself helping in one of those local partners or globally. We have people that go all over the place. Did you know that right now there's a man named Bill in Gabon? There's a man named Alan from the Beaver Creek campus who's going to be in West Africa. In 48 hours, 12 people from this church are going to be in Thailand. There's a man named Brian in our church family who's the CEO of Global Christian Relief. Google it. It's incredible what they do. And they're part of our church family as he goes to India and Pakistan because of the persecuted church. We just had a group come back from Manchester, England. We had a group come back from Kentucky. We have students that have just come back from Kentucky. There's all kinds of ways. Let me end with this. Thank God we have been given the Helper. Is that right, church? Amen. Thank God we have been given the Helper. Would you just bow with me for just a second? I want to invite you to allow Jesus to say to you, peace be with you. He wants to chase out fear in your life because you won't think about tomorrow morning if you're completely overwhelmed with fear. Peace be with you. And the second thing you might want to communicate to God this morning is, God, I will go. You sent me. I will go. Help me. Empower me by the Spirit. I will be intentional. I will look at the people in my neighborhood differently. I will see the people on my campus differently. I will pray for my family in a different way. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be here today. And as we celebrate you and as we think about the incredible gift, the miracle that the Holy Spirit is for us, I pray, Lord, for all of us, that as followers of Jesus, that we would intentionally be reminded that we are sent. We've been given an incredible commission, the Great Commission. I pray, God, that you would do supernatural things in the next 7 days. That people would be interested, that people would be prayed for, that people would experience the love of God in a tangible, real way. Father, I pray for those that are here today who are just completely overwhelmed with fear. I ask, Lord, that the peace of God would chase that out. We thank you, Father, that you don't ask us to be fearless. You ask us to surrender our fear to you, and may that happen now. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayer. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that you have a future for us, that though we don't know what tomorrow and next week, next month is, you do, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. Amen.